Robert Gottfried. I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsession.
Colossal Obsession.
I'm going back and forth from being a co-host to a sidekick.
Yes.
Where does that boy wonder?
To a boy wonder.
Where does that leave me?
That's a good question.
Sub-sidekick.
The sidekick sidekick?
There you go.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Now,
Researcher Deluxe?
Yeah.
Now, this is, we just recently, you know, we interviewed.
Paul Rayburn is here.
Oh, yeah. Paul Rayburn, we're talking to. He's someone who, where would the show be without him? It would probably be on NBC with a budget of
prime time.
Like $500 million.
Paul, you're bringing us down.
Yeah, we were talking to Bill Macy, the very funny Bill Macy,
yep.
And every single question that Frank and I would ask him, he'd go, I don't remember that.
Where did you hear that bullshit?
Yeah, that's total bullshit. Yeah. That never happened. Yeah. And so someone tweeted me and said, I guess Paul Rayburn prepared the questions for you this week.
I got the same tweets. Did you see the Photoshop that somebody did?
The master of all research or something in that thing. Yeah.
Yes, you've become a minor internet celebrity.
I thanks to you guys.
Well,
I appreciate it.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it gives me a warm feeling right in the lower
cookie gas. Well, Gil
and
Paul, this is another episode of what we're calling Gilbert Sings Your Requests. I don't know why I'm doing Art Fern. But we have this little thing on Patreon where people contribute a couple of bucks and they get to pick a song for you to, what is the word I'm looking for? Mangle?
Oh, okay.
do justice to? And we've had a couple. Last time we had Barry Manilow and, no, it wasn't Barry Manilow. We had John Denver last time.
Oh, yes.
Sunshine
yes.
on My Shoulders. Yeah. And we did a little Partridge Family last time. And we've got some new ones for you this week. And may I add that Paul is going to redeem himself this week. He's done so much research that you will be apologizing to him by the end of this episode.
It's been a long time coming, but I think we're...
yes. He's found out that Barry Manilow was in the music business through his research.
Among other things.
Yeah.
So let's see. Here's what we're going to start with. This comes from fan and listener Tom Brennan. And he would like to hear Gilbert sing the classic You've Lost That Love and Feeling by the Righteous Brothers. And I just happen to have the lyrics right here.
Isn't that odd that you have the lyrics there?
Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
So we're going to talk amongst ourselves while Gilbert fishes his glasses out of his pocket.
Yes.
And Paul has a little trivia.
Now I just need my hearing aid.
And your iron lung.
Yes.
And we're ready to go. here we are. Hey. So Maestro Verderosa is going to call up some music.
Is this may, correct me if I'm wrong, this may be the first time we featured somebody who's actually behind bars.
Yes, to our knowledge.
To our knowledge.
Yes, this is a wall of sound.
That's right.
Track. And Gilbert, we know you know this one.
Yes.
For corn's sake. So what do you think, Frankie? Want to start us off?
Close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
That was a sudden start.
And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard to not show it, but baby, baby, I know it. You lost that loving feeling. Oh, that loving feeling. You lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa.
The third Righteous Brother.
Yeah.
Now there's no welcome look in your eyes when I reach for you. And now you're starting to
criticize little things I do.
Gilbert is actually coming in at the right place.
He's good.
It makes me just feel like crying.
Exactly.
Because baby, something beautiful's dying.
Go.
You lost that love and feeling. Whoa, that love and feeling. You lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa.
Ridge.
Baby, baby, I get down on my knees for you.
Do some of this as Hervey.
If you'd only love me like you used to do, we had a love, you don't find every day. So don't let it slip away.
Righteous.
Baby! Baby! Please! I need your love! I need your love! Don't bring it on back! Don't bring it on back! Bring back that love and feeling! Whoa, that love and feeling! Bring back that love and feeling, 'cause it's gone, 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 and I can't go on, no.
I kept wanting to jump in with some harmony there, but I just couldn't find it.
That love and feeling, whoa, that love and feeling.
Beautiful.
Now, before Gilbert covered that song.
Let me wait. Hang on. I have to wipe a tear.
Single tear.
Go ahead.
Here are some of the other people who covered that song, setting up the situation that allowed Gilbert to do so.
Would you really call that a cover?
Uncover?
Yeah.
It's like a heavy blanket.
Yeah. Cilla Black covered it.
Oh, Cilla Black.
Dionne Warwick.
We just lost her.
Roberta Flack. Donnie Hathaway. Hall & Oates. And Long John Baldry.
You know that Elton John took his name from Long John Baldry?
Who the hell is he? I've never this
he
is familiar.
Was a British performer, a British singer.
Sounds like a porn name.
Yeah. It does.
It does.
With Elton John?
Reginald Dwight, which is Elton John's name, he took the John from Long John Baldry.
And one of the writers, who were the writers of that, too?
In English trivia. Well, the great Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil.
And?
Mr. Phil Spector.
Phil Spector.
Right.
Who is serving time for murder in the California healthcare facility. Healthcare, that doesn't sound like a prison.
And yet Gilbert sings like that and walks free.
And walks free.
it hardly seems fair.
That's right. That's right. They got the wrong man once again.
It's a wall of sound recording. They call it the ultimate expression of Spector's wall of sound. Is that correct, Paul?
All kinds of people said this was like one of the best produced records and one of the greatest things they ever heard.
Yeah.
And that's before they heard Gilbert.
Well, the story goes that Spector brought it to the Righteous Brothers, and they thought it wasn't in their key. They thought the range was too high, and they thought, oh, this is great for the Everly Brothers, but not for us.
Wow.
And they weren't believers in it. And the song took 39 takes and 8 hours. Over 2 days.
39
That's
takes.
Like doing the intro to one of our shows.
It's
That's
just like it.
What take are we on now?
He was such an amazing music producer. I think he should be allowed to kill every now and then.
Now, this should be a bit in your act.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I think we should let him get away with a few murders.
He'd always heard that, comedians like to be able to say they killed.
Oh, yes.
But he didn't understand. That.
Well, your reasoning is he's given us things like the Ronettes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the Phil Spector Christmas album. So you know, take that into consideration.
Yeah, toss him a murder.
I mean, he's not the first first musician who's crossed a couple of lines here and there. You know.
Yeah, you did a nice job with that, Gil.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say you were on key, but I like what you did with it.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show. Now here's another one. And this
we're doing more.
See if I know this one.
I think you'll know this one. This was written by By the way, did you see Al Pacino plays Phil Spector in that HBO movie?
Oh, yes.
That was wow. That was, what do the kids say? Off the hook.
Yeah. Off the hizzy.
It was off the hizzy. Here's another one from Tom Brennan. And I know you know this one, listener Tom Brennan.
Let me see if I have this right. People paid to have us do this?
Yes. A couple of people said, listen, I will pay if he doesn't sing. They didn't really understand the premise. But most people went with the fun of it and said, okay, here's a couple of shekels, and I need to hear Gilbert sing this. My life is incomplete.
Speaking of off the hizzy, I did a commercial recently.
Yeah?
Just about a year ago with Snoop Dogg.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
What was it commercial for?
It was for some food website.
And
And it was me and Snoop Dogg, I guess, as roommates.
Was it...
A friend of mine produced that.
Really?
Did you work together or did your friend produce it?
Yeah, we were together in this... I guess our little apartment, Timmy and Snoop Dogg.
Was it in fact off the hizzy?
Yeah. Well, I will say, we were staying at the same hotel, and when you walk past his room, you got a contact high.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know that Snoop lent his name, and Paul, you can look this up. You have your phone handy?
I have it.
To a series of X-rated films called Doggy Style. And when I was living in L.A. and on hard times and writing Saturday morning cartoons to pay the bills, I got a call from somebody who said, do you want to write some jokes? I guess they would call it additional dialogue.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to write some jokes and quips for Snoop, who is doing for wraparounds for this XXX porn stuff? And I don't know why I turned it down, but I did. And there you go. That's neither here nor there, but that's my...
You might have found you had a real talent.
I might have had a calling.
I love how you worked hard times into that.
That was an unfortunate choice of words.
It was called Doggy Style?
Doggy Style.
Because that was the name of his first studio album in
1993. Well, maybe I got the name wrong, but he was involved with these porn films. Maybe you can find it by the end of the show. Fat chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul's currently looking at Doggy Style photos.
Yeah, Paul, don't get distracted.
I'm up to 1993. I'm closing in on it.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. And if you don't find it, I'll just cut that whole part from the show. Hey, Gil, here's another one by listener Tom Brennan. And this was written by a former podcast guest.
Ah.
Your friend Alan Thicke.
Wow.
Along with his ex-wife Gloria Loring and producer Al Burton, whose name just came up in a Dee Wallace episode. Strangely enough. And Frank is going to favor us with, so people know what we're doing here. And so Gilbert knows the tune. He's going to give us a refresher.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Okay,
let's
just want to hear
it. Right for you, may not be right for some.
A man is born, he's a man of means. Then along come two, they got nothing but their genes. But they got different strokes. It takes different strokes. It takes different strokes to move the world.
20 minutes behind.
different strokes. It takes different strokes to move the world. Everybody's got a special kind of story. Everybody finds a way to shine. It don't matter what you got, not a lot, so what? They have that mind. And together we'll be fine. Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. It takes different strokes to move the world.
That was a looser cover.
Oh my God. Wow.
Now I do have a connection here.
What do you got?
And when Alan Thicke sung it, it was, but they get different strokes. It takes different strokes. It takes different strokes to move the world.
We should have had you do it as Alan Thicke.
So Alan Thicke not only wrote this one, he wrote a lot of, he wrote the
he
theme
sure
songs
did.
For Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Sweepstakes, The Joker's Wild,
yep,
and more. Now here's I don't know if you guys are going to get this right off. This is a reference to a previous podcast guest.
Ooh, exciting.
In Different Strokes, this podcast guest appeared in season one in every episode.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it.
Oh, wait.
Did they spin?
And this guest departed the show partway through the second season
to star in a spinoff
with a theme written by Alan Thicke.
Yep. Gil, you know her.
Wow.
I'll give you a hint. We talked to her over the phone in the kitchen in your apartment, or the dining room, I should say. And here's another hint. Every 5 minutes, she plugged her book.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, Charlotte Ray.
God bless that woman.
Yes.
We love Charlotte Ray. Well, Charlotte Ray was Mrs. Garrett, right? And she got her own series.
That's right.
Facts of Life.
Yeah, it was like an interview where I'd go, so Charlotte, you know, I mentioned the name Charlotte in my book.
Bless her. You kept trying to talk about Car 54.
Yes.
And what was Al Lewis? And what about Joey Ross? And she kept saying, you know, on page 12 of my book, did you mention my book? And it became a running gag after a while. She was great.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I do? When we get a nice mini ep rolling here and we're laughing and having fun, I do like to try to bring things down.
Please do.
Okay.
Gary Coleman died at 42 of a brain hemorrhage. That's all I want to say. I just wanted to put a little sobering reality.
That version of Different Strokes didn't bring the room down enough for you?
You know what was so... Remember there was that woman who claimed she was his girlfriend?
Erin Fleming?
Oh, yeah. And she was saying she was... And there was... I'll never forget the cover of one of the papers had Gary Coleman lying in the hospital bed, unconscious with tubes in his nose and his mouth and wires in the arms and everything. And she was there with posed, leaning over the bed with her head turned to the camera.
I remember this woman.
That was so creepy.
I remember who you're talking. I remember the woman you're talking about.
And I heard that Gary Coleman, what he hated, both him and who was the other?
Todd midget? Bridges.
No, there was another midget who had a show.
Oh, do you mean Emmanuel Lewis?
Emmanuel
Webster.
Both of them hated that they were like in their 40s and 50s, and they'd be working on something, and like the other people on the set would lift them up and carry them over.
Jesus.
Like you do to a little kid. You go, hey, little guy, come over here to the set. And, you know, here he is,
really?
suffering with hardening of the arteries, and his eyesight and hearing is going.
All right, now, and,
did they hate that as much as being referred to as midgets?
Yeah.
So,
which was more painful.
Sometimes I call them munchkins.
Yeah.
What'd you find, Paul?
Well, let's get things back on track.
Really. Yeah.
Okay.
Off this Gary Coleman thing. Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style is a mixed hardcore pornography and hip hop music video featuring the music of rapper Snoop Dogg and presented by him, released in
Oh, God.
2001.
Yeah. That was.
It was the first hardcore video ever listed on the Billboard Music Video Sales chart.
There you go.
How did we get to Snoop Dogg from?
Because he made a commercial with him.
Oh, that's
I said off the heezy. Yeah. Now I'm regretting not taking that job. Oh, back in the day. Okay, here's one to close us out.
Okay.
And I know you know this one. Because...
Can I just, before Gilbert starts to sing, there's an important point here. If I can find it. Wait a minute. I'm on page 3.
You know, we have to hire a page turner for the researcher.
Yeah. And that's when the show came to a grinding halt. Uh-huh.
I remember when we interviewed Paige Turner. She was an old actress.
All right. I just wanted to note that this song takes its melody from the great opera by Amilcare Ponchielli.
I have that on my card.
And I knew what Gilbert would want to know, so I did a little more research.
La Gioconda.
Amilcare was Jewish.
Yes.
Turns out.
Amilcare Ponchielli.
Yes.
Ponchielli. Yeah. The song the tune was written in the 1870s.
And wasn't he in Chips?
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. He was one of the cops and Chips.
Listen to you two. Oh, yes. It was an opera. It's from, you know what it is. As soon as you hear the music, as soon as I hand you the lyrics.
Yeah, it's one of those operas that everybody knows.
Dance of the Hours is the name of the song or the tune.
Well, it's going to feel like it when I sing
in the opera. And so one would assume that this parodist who recorded this song took the music because it was in the public domain. Anyway, this comes from listener Frank Salerno. He wanted to hear Gilbert sing this classic.
Hello, Father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have fun when it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He'd old Spivey. He's an Ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner. He got Ptomaine poison last night.
You're way off. Pick it up here.
And the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads us from something called... Wait a minute.
Called Ulysses.
Now I don't want... This should scare ya, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me. Wait, what?
Okay, you're up to here.
Oh. I sung all those parts.
Here's your bridge.
Take me home, oh mother, father, take me home. I hate Granada, don't leave me in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home, I promise I will not make noise or mess the house with other boys. Ishmael's my precious little brother. Let me come home if you miss me. I would even let Aunt Bertha hug and kiss me. Wait a minute, it stopped hailing. Guys are swimming.
Guys are sailing.
Playing baseball. Gee, that's better. Mother, kindly disregard this letter.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And that was Alan Shur.
Alan Shur.
And I want you to know, the original composer of that music climbed out of his grave, converted to Christianity, and then buried himself.
It's understandable.
So he was a Jew?
Alan Sherman?
No.
Yes.
He's putting you on.
He's putting you on.
Ponchielli.
It was an Italian. It's taken the melody is taken from an Italian opera. Yeah, La Gioconda.
Now, I'm trying to think of some Italian. I could think of a lot of Irish, famous Irish Jews.
Really?
Jack Warden, Leo Gorcey, the guy who played Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe? Yes, he's an Irish
Jew. The guy in the Bells of St. Mary's.
Well, of course, Ben Stiller.
Right.
And,
well, he's half Irish.
Oh, and Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's an Irish Jew?
Yeah, I think he's half and half.
Why didn't you guys get on? Why did you have such problems with him?
He hung out with the wrong half.
Why? You're trying to think of an Italian guy who's Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, I got to. There's got to be.
Oh, well, wait. The mayor. Fiorello LaGuardia.
I think he was a quarter Jewish.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the only part that matters.
What else you got on Alan Sherman's song here, Mr. Paul?
So the American version is very light. Turns out there was a Finnish version, which was in the Finnish Boy Scouts songbook.
Of course.
But the Swedish version is the one I know you're waiting to hear about.
I am.
The Swedish version notably does not revolve around the camper hating the camp, but it's about the kids running roughshod over the camp, having run off all the counselors, one of whom has committed suicide after they let a snake into the mess hall.
Wow.
Now, there's a cheery summer song.
Wow.
Whoa.
You know?
And Alan Sherman couldn't deal with his own success.
Yes, very self-destructive.
Yeah.
We're going to do a future show about Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
He has lots of connections. He was a writer on a Steve Allen show.
Of course.
And didn't he, what game show did he create?
The Hollywood Squares. He was a guest on Hollywood
Squares. No, but he didn't create it.
No, he didn't create it.
I think it was I've Got a Secret.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sandra Gould, who played Mrs. Kravitz.
Oh, yeah.
On Bewitched, released a response novelty record.
Oh.
To this in 1964 called Hello, Melvin, This Is Mama. How about that? Where she retorted, you will.
Another one of his classic works was Coming Through the Rye.
Oh, there were a million.
And he's which would, don't make a stingy sandwich, pile the cold cuts high, customers should see salami coming through the rye.
There you go. And the song was reportedly based on Sherman's own son's experience at Camp Champlain in upstate New York. How about that? His kid didn't like camp.
And then he had that song like Herman and Sheila Herman and Sheila Herman and Sheila.
It's Harvey and Sheila.
Harvey and Sheila.
Harvey and Sheila. Oh, he had a million.
And then it was something like, he worked for NBC, she worked for A&T.
There was so many. There was My Zelda, She Took the Money and Ran with
right.
the Tailor,
yes.
the Harry Belafonte parody. There was Pop Hates the Beatles. There's so many.
You know, we've done so many people now. There are connections. There are threads running through all these things. Alan Sherman lived in the Brentwood section of West Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
No connection to O.J. Simpson. But he lived next door to whom in the Brentwood section?
Who did Alan Sherman live next door to?
Now, this is a gimme for you guys.
Wow. Mildred Natwick?
He lived next door to Harpo Marx.
How bizarre.
Who invited him to perform his song parodies, attended by Marx's showbiz friends.
Love it.
Wow.
That's cool. That's cool shit.
That great?
That's
wow.
cool shit.
That's a great one.
We got it. See, I told you he'd redeem himself by the end of the show.
What do you think, Gilbert?
What do you have to say?
No, it's too much to pay back.
We have to find somebody who knows Alan Sherman or who wrote a book about Alan
yes.
Sherman. Get him in here. We'll do an Alan Sherman
oh,
episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
idea.
We'll
play the songs. I used to listen. I was an Italian kid, but I listened to those. I had those albums. My Son the Nut. My son.
Oh, that's right.
My Son the Folk Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard when his success happened, everything that he couldn't control to begin with, really.
Yeah.
His eating, his drinking, all of that.
Sarah Jockman, how's by you? How's your cousin Sydney? They took out a kidney. He's nice, too. Anyway, we'll do it. We'll do Alan Sherman justice and give him his due another time down the road. Paul,
sir,
what can I say?
I hope I've contributed in some small way to this.
Smaller than you know.
Yes. You contributed by not talking that much.
Frankie, thank you for playing DJ. I hope this was fun.
I live to serve.
Thank you, Frank Salerno and Tom Brennan, for your song suggestions. Gilbert, I think you liked the songs this week.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Yes.
And this
keep them coming.
Yeah, this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions, I guess. And we once again recorded it at Nutmeg with our engineer, Frank Furtarosa. And once again, Paul Rayburn drove the show to a screeching halt.
Paul, we love you. See you next time, guys. Colossal Obsessions.